The following preview is of a graphic audio production rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Available now from Graphic Audio.
Falcon, Mrs. Custer told me something that I'd never heard before. She told me that you were with her husband when he was killed.
I wasn't with him at the exact time he was killed. I was with Bentine and Reno when the general was killed.
Why haven't I heard this about you before?
Because my being there was an accident of sorts. A lot of good men gave their last full measure of devotion on that day. I never felt it was right to detract from their honor by interjecting myself.
I wonder, Falcon, would you share the story with me now?
It's been over 50 years, and I've never told this story to anyone before. I'm not sure I can do it justice. Well, I warn you, it's a long story.
I'm a novelist, Falcon. I deal in long stories. Please, go ahead.
Well now, the year 1876 was what historians would call an eventful year. In Philadelphia, they celebrated our country's centennial. Colorado became a state. They invented the telephone. And at a lonely place in Montana, General Custer and 265 brave men were killed.
Colonel McAllister, this way! Damn! You're one hell of an engine fighter, Falcon. I've been at this game for a long time. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
I'll be damned.
What is it?
The Colorado Home Guard is missing 100 rifles. It looks like we just found a few of them.
You mean in addition to the Gatling guns we're looking for, there's also a bunch of repeating rifles out there?
Sweet fancy Moses, look at that!
Have you ever seen that many Indians at one time?
No, sir, I have not. Two Bears was right. These engines is coming from everywhere.
We have to tell Custer about this. I don't think he has any idea what he's letting himself in for.
You don't really know the General all that well, do you?
I haven't known him very long. Why do you ask?
Because it ain't gonna make no never mind what we tell him. He has his mind made up to go after the engines, and that's exactly what he's gonna do.
We've got them this time! We've got them, boys! Trumpeter Martin!
Don't miss the saga of Falcon McAllister at the Little Bighorn and Eagles 14, Bloodshed of Eagles. Available now in Graphic Audio.
And now for our feature presentation.
Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Rogue Angel by Alex Archer. Rogue Angel number 20. Footprints. Narrated by Nanette Savard. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Yasmin Toison, Joe Brack, Eric Messner, Thomas Penny, Elizabeth Demery, Mort Shelby, David Coyne, Michael Glenn, Lily Beacon, and Richard Rowan.
Anya Creed ducked around another thick pine tree and paused. A cool breeze blew through her hair, which she'd recently had cut, thinking she should take a chance and go for a new look. After her stylist had taken a good 6 inches off, she realized she'd made a mistake. 2 days after the haircut, Anya hid out in her Brooklyn loft, desperately wondering how long she could get away with her self-imposed hibernation. She didn't have any urgent commitments, and she wasn't due to film another segment of her popular cable television series, Chasing History's Monsters, for a few weeks. She realized that having a lot of downtime made her restless and led to rash decisions like ill-advised makeovers. Then the email had arrived that changed her plans, and suddenly she was flying out to the Pacific Northwest. Now she stood in the forest on a trail that the guy who ran the combined gas station and grocery store had assured her would lead all the way to a small encampment hidden deep in the woods. He'd warned her sternly to stay on the trail or risk getting really lost. She could see what he meant. Since parking her rented Jeep at the entrance to the trailhead, she'd had a hard enough time just trying to find the trail itself. It was incredibly overgrown, almost as if the woods themselves were desperate to reclaim it from civilization. The email Anya had received was from an old friend named Jenny Chu. She and Jenny had taken many undergraduate courses together, and their friendship had blossomed over in-depth discussions about American folklore and legends. Jenny's passion was for things like the Lake Champlain Monster and the legends of the Sasquatch. The Sasquatch legend was why Anya was traipsing through the Oregon woods. Jenny's email suggested that she'd found new evidence of the creature's existence. It was evidence she wanted Anya to see as well, in case she wanted to do a segment about it on Chasing History's Monsters. Anya didn't believe for a second there would be any proof of a giant, hairy creature roaming the woods, but her producer, Doug Morrell, was a sucker for those types of stories. Besides, Anya figured she could buy some grow-out time before anyone she knew saw her hair. Anya smirked, thinking about the last time she'd seen Jenny and their debate. Jenny had gone on and on about how it was anthropologically possible for a giant ape man to exist in the farthest reaches of the forest of the North American continent.
You're talking about a missing link here, Jen, and it's just not possible. Not with the technology we have nowadays. You'd think we could float a satellite over certain areas and just get readings if there was anything there.
Jenny, her hair in two braids and her glasses slung low on her nose, rolled her eyes.
You trust technology way too much. It's not the magic bullet you think it is.
I don't think it's a magic bullet per se. Just that we have to acknowledge it could solve mysteries that we've created for ourselves.
I'll prove you wrong, Anya. One day. You'll see.
Was this the day Jenny had forecast? Anya smiled and started walking again, stepping carefully on the thick carpet of pine needles. She'd have to wait and see. Jenny's campsite was supposed to be set up about 2 miles farther down the trail. Anya took another 5 steps and paused again. Something didn't feel right. She turned and looked back the way she'd come. How many times had she suspected that someone was following her? The feeling was so ingrained that it had become the norm, but she couldn't discount it. Her safety might well be in jeopardy. It often was these days. That meant she'd have to take precautions. But if she stuck to the trail, as she'd been told to do, there was a good chance that whoever or whatever was following her would overtake her. Whatever? She caught the mental slip and frowned. Was she already supposing that some giant creature might be tailing her? Shaking her head to clear it, Anya looked up and considered the sky. Despite the sunny start to the day, bloated clouds had moved in, threatening to drench the forest below. One thing was certain. If Anya didn't make some progress and reach the campsite, she was going to get soaked to the bone and face the threat of hypothermia. Even though the day was relatively warm, it was still early spring, and temperatures could fluctuate rapidly. Anya froze at the sound of the twig snapping and searched the woods around her.
I need cover.
She spotted a clump of bushes and ducked down into it, squeezing under until she could just about peer out from under the foliage. She sensed movement farther back on the path. Was it the creature Jenny had been hunting for? Or something else entirely? She spotted a set of boots and relaxed somewhat. The last she'd heard, the Sasquatch didn't wear trendy hiking boots. The feet were moving along at a casual pace. There wasn't any sense of menace. Anya poked her head out from under the bush. The hiking boots belonged to a boy of about 16. his jet black hair spiked out of his head at odd angles, and he toppled back, landing on his butt as he reacted with shock to seeing Anya's head emerge from the bush.
Who are you?
Anya climbed to her feet and brushed bits of plant matter out of her hair.
Sorry about that. I thought someone might be following me.
You always go around hiding in blueberry bushes?
I've been known to hide in dumpsters, too. Trees, sand dunes, snow caves. You name it, I've done it.
She held out a hand, which he took, and she helped him to his feet.
Who are you?
Joey.
Nice to meet you. So where are you heading with that backpack stuffed as it is?
Down the trail, there's a camp. I'm spending my vacation working for an expedition that's camped farther in. I get to hang out, run some errands, and see what they're up to.
That wouldn't be Jenny Chu's expedition, would it?
Yeah. You know her?
She's an old friend of mine. She asked me to come out here and see what she was up to.
You're Anya Creed.
Guilty as charged.
Wow. You don't look anything like you do on television.
Yeah, well, I didn't bother going to hair and makeup before hiking through the woods. How about showing me exactly where the camp is? Those clouds look as if they're going to open up any second, and I don't want to be out here when it pours.
No sweat, Anya. Follow me.
Joey hefted his pack and set off. Anya followed along behind him.
You know this area well?
This is the land of my ancestors. We've been around here longer than anyone else.
You made a lot of noise on the trail back there. Might be time to study the skills of your ancestors.
What are you talking about?
On the trail. I heard you coming a mile away.
Lady, I move pretty quiet. I don't know what you heard, but it wasn't me. They don't call me Creeping Wolf for nothing.
If I didn't hear you, then what?
Let's not even go there, okay? No offense to your friend or anything, but she's kind of obsessed with this whole Sasquatch thing, you know? I can dig having an interest and all, but she's really going full speed into nutjob.
That sounds like Jenny.
It's cool. I get that way about things. Girls, mostly. But you have to know when to draw the line of becoming a lunatic.
Good advice.
The trail started to descend into what looked like a valley. Anya could see the trees starting to part as they entered a clearing. Ahead of her, she saw the bright reds and yellows of tents.
So, there it is.
I've been gone all day. I had to go back to town and get some more supplies.
Did you drive?
I walked.
Yeah, but town's 6 miles away.
And?
Never mind.
Like I said, I've been cruising these woods my whole life. I know them better than almost anyone else. And as the crow flies, the distance back to town is only 3 miles.
You fly, too?
Sometimes that's exactly what it feels like.
They broke out of the forest and into the clearing. Joey walked ahead of Anya, leaving her to take in the camp. Suddenly, the hair on the back of Anya's neck stood up.
Joey.
What?
Where is everyone?
Joey turned and glanced around. They both stood for a moment, taking in the fact that there seemed to be absolutely no noise anywhere in the camp. Overhead, the clouds jostled together, and Anya felt the first few drops of rain starting to flick down at her. Uneasiness rippled through her as she turned and found herself facing the barrel of a gun. The man holding the rifle shot her a cold smile.
How nice. Another guest.
Anya turned her head slightly to warn Joey, but he had vanished. Startled, Anya turned back to the man. He was looking her up and down, and then he nodded.
Walk that way. If you try anything funny, I'll be more than happy to put a couple of holes into you.
Anya turned, and only took a couple of steps before she felt a rifle barrel jab into her spine. She risked a glance back at the man standing behind her.
That's not necessary. I'm perfectly capable of walking without you stabbing me with your gun every few seconds.
Shut up and walk.
Anya glanced around the camp as the man escorted her past the tents. Everything seemed to be in good order, and there wasn't an air of chaos. When they turned past one of the tents, she saw a number of the college students, an even mix of boys and girls, who had been working on the expedition. They looked very frightened and cowed by the two other armed men guarding them. One of the guards looked at Anya's escort.
Where'd she come from?
She's been on the trail leading here. Followed her for a few miles.
Sit her down with the others.
Where's Jenny?
Shut up!
Anya felt the jab of the rifle barrel again and sat down. She watched as the three armed men huddled together for a few seconds. They parted, and the one who seemed to be in charge, a guy of maybe 40 with thick pork chop sideburns and a long scar down one side of his face, nodded at her.
You!
What?
Stand up.
Anya tensed. Were they going to shoot her now? She closed her eyes and pictured the powerful sword she'd inherited from Joan of Arc. The weapon was ready for her to call forth. She opened her eyes and stood.
What's this all about?
Shut up! We've got a message for the professor.
Anya frowned. So this wasn't just some random occurrence. These guys wanted to speak to Jenny. But what had happened to her?
What?
Tell her to back off. She's not wanted here. These woods belong to us, and we'll do whatever it takes to keep it that way.
Okay, I'll give her the message.
You do that, and tell her we'll be watching. If we don't like what we see, then bad things will start happening.
I get it.
The lead man regarded her for one more second and then turned. The three men walked toward the trees that bordered the clearing. In minutes, they had vanished back into the gloom. Anya frowned. She turned and pulled one of the young men to his feet.
What the hell is going on around here?
Who are you?
I'm Anya Creed. Where is Jenny?
Jenny?
Professor Chu.
Although he was big and strapping, the student looked like he was about to faint.
Professor Chu went out on a hike this morning. We haven't seen her since.
None of you have seen her?
No. And those guys showed up about an hour ago? I guess they just got tired of waiting for her?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Perhaps they were only supposed to deliver the message. Maybe it's a scare tactic.
Yeah. Well, they succeeded.
Hey!
Anya turned and saw Joey standing behind her, sliding his backpack off.
Where the hell did you disappear to?
Creeping wolf, remember? I can disappear in the blink of an eye. Anyway, I don't do guns. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Great. So, my creeping friend, maybe you can tell me what happened to Jenny?
How would I know? I've been gone all day getting supplies.
Anya frowned. He had a point. And none of the college kids looked as if they were going to be particularly keen to set out on a search through the woods. She knew what was coming. Anya looked at Joey again.
They'll want to leave.
Because of those guys? Wimps.
Didn't you just tell me you're a lover, not a fighter?
Sure, but I don't lay down for anyone either. If I did that, it wouldn't be much of a credit to my tribe.
Anya turned back to the student she'd spoken to initially. A little color was back in his face, so he probably wouldn't faint.
Get your gear packed up. You guys aren't staying here.
Instantly, the college students all sprang into action, taking down tents and getting their packs squared away. Anya watched them. She felt hesitant about taking command of the situation, but with Jenny nowhere to be seen, someone had to. She couldn't tell a bunch of kids to hang around with gun-toting nuts lurking in the woods. And she was pretty confident that Jenny would tell them to get out of there as well. There was no way Jenny would want kids under her care to be in danger. Anya went in search of Jenny's tent to pack that up, too. It took them 20 minutes to break down the camp. Joey spent most of the time complaining about the supplies he'd lugged back from town.
Hey, man, I'm still getting paid for this, right?
Anya fished out her wallet and gave him $50.
That enough?
Not bad. Jenny promised me $100 per day out here, though.
Don't push your luck. Jenny's on a university grant and has to watch all of her expenses. That 50's a gift and you know it.
Can't blame a dude for trying.
I've got one final assignment for you, Creeping Wolf.
Yeah?
You need to lead these kids back to the trailhead.
They stay on the trail, they'll be fine. They don't need me.
Anya pulled him closer and jerked her head in the direction of the scared students that stood huddled together, periodically glancing fearfully into the woods.
Take a look at their faces. Every one of them is terrified. If I let them go like this, they'll wander off the trail and die from exposure. You know that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They do look pretty shell-shocked.
As opposed to you.
I left, man. I don't stick around for trouble. That's bad medicine.
Well, do me this one favor, and then you can get lost as well.
What about you?
I'll leave with you guys as a group, but somewhere along the trail I'll bleed off. Don't try to find me. I'll search for Jenny, and we'll figure out what to do next.
You're going to find Jenny in these woods? Alone? You?
I'm pretty good at finding my way around, Joey. I've been in a lot worse environments than this.
At that moment, the clouds finally opened up, and rain pelted down from the sky, soaking everyone in seconds. Anya rolled her eyes and waved them over.
You're leaving.
Now? It's raining.
So the quicker we get out onto the trail and headed back to the trailhead, the better off you'll be. Move quickly and you'll stay warm, too. Joey here is going to lead us all out.
Can he do it?
Joey looked like he wanted to punch the student.
Yes. He knows these woods better than anyone.
What if we get lost?
You won't. I'll be bringing up the rear, so I'll make sure no one gets left behind. Now, are we ready?
They all nodded. Anya breathed a sigh of relief. If she could just keep them focused on the task at hand, getting back to the safety of town and away from here, then they'd be all right. She looked at Joey.
You all set?
Of course.
All right, then. Lead on.
Joey started off down the trail. One by one, the students fell in, forming a ragged line. Anya figured the trio of gunmen were probably watching them leave. She hoped they would think that Anya had just wanted to get everyone out in one piece. Hopefully, they would believe that their threats had worked, even though they hadn't. The trees seemed to reach in over them as they walked down the trail. Overhead, the long, spindly branches with leaf shoots and pine branches deflected some of the rain, but the trail was turning into a muddy mess. Anya did find it peculiar that none of the students had asked about Jenny's welfare. But then again, when faced with mortal danger, most people do end up only considering their own personal safety. Jenny was on her own. Well, not quite. As Joey led the group around a bend in the trail, Anya saw her chance and quietly stepped off the trail. She crouched low and then slipped behind a thick pine tree. The rain continued to fall, and the light in the sky seemed to be dimming by the second. It was already late afternoon, and the addition of bad weather meant that she was looking at spending a truly dark night in the woods. If Anya had initially believed that the rain would taper off as the evening progressed, she was wrong. Indeed, as the sky continued to darken, the rain increased until sheets fell from the clouds above her. The good news was that the weather was a great equalizer. The men with the guns would also have to seek refuge from the storm. 20 yards away, she spotted a downed tree. It was almost dry under the canopy of the dense pine. Anya could see the splintered trunk and reasoned it must have come down during a recent thunderstorm. It wasn't high enough to set up the tent under the branches, so she stretched the tent out and used it as a tarp. It was perfect to further protect her from the elements. There was no guarantee that the tent wouldn't fly away at the next gust of wind, but Anya was grateful she at least had something to keep the rain out of her face. The area was littered with pine boughs. The spring growth hadn't occurred yet, so they were obviously dead leftovers from before the winter snows. Still, she gathered enough for a bed and shoved them in under her shelter. Shivering from being wet and cold, Anya pulled out her knife and started scraping at the bark of the tree closest to her. The exterior of the bark was wet, but the interior was still reasonably dry. Anya produced a handful of shavings, protecting them from the rain with the curve of her body, and put them into a plastic bag, and then in her pocket to keep them as dry as possible. She hurried back to her shelter. Under the canopy of the tree, she also found a large pile of deadfall, and the branches were almost all dry. She hacked several into smaller lengths, and then scraped out a firebowl depression in the ground. On the bottom, she laid the tinder bundle and set some thin kindling sticks above it.
Here goes nothing.
She scraped her fire starter against the knife blade and saw the sparks fly into the tinder bundle. Several more tries produced a thin strand of smoke. She blew gently, feeding some more bits of twigs.
Oh, there we go. Oh, good fire.
Heat radiated up toward her, but Anya shivered again, still cold in her wet clothes.
Got to dry these.
She added more wood to the flames and set two of the thicker logs nearby to begin burning. When she was satisfied she had a sustainable fire going, Anya removed her clothes. Her jacket was still fairly dry on the inside, but she'd gotten wet pretty much everywhere else. On the branches above her, Anya draped her clothes, letting the heat and smoke dry them out. Nude, she huddled closer to the fire, feeling the wood smoke curl up around her, wrapping her in its warmth. Anya rooted through her pack and found the energy bar she always kept there, along with the bottle of water she'd packed. Anya chewed her food and listened to the wind, and wondered if Jenny was out in that mess. She frowned. There was a chance that her friend would not survive the night without any of her camping gear. The wind, rain, and falling temperature together could kill even an experienced outdoors type. Still, Anya knew that Jenny was remarkably resilient, and she also had a lot of training. She finished her meal and then leaned back against the thick tree trunk. Thanks to the way the branches drooped almost to the ground, the heat from the fire warmed the area nicely. Anya felt relaxed and comfortable, despite the fact that she was sitting naked in the midst of a terrible storm. If she weren't worried about Jenny's whereabouts, she'd actually be having a great time. She touched her clothes. The heat was doing its job very nicely. She pulled them down and slid them back on. Her body heat would finish drying them. She fed another log onto the fire, watching the flames jump around and the slight breeze that had managed to work its way inside the relative safety of the drooping tree. The heat enveloped her. Anya felt her eyelids drooping. She tried to blink away sleep, but she took another deep breath and nodded off. When she woke, the sun wasn't shining. In fact, it was still pitch black outside. It was dark inside the shelter as well. The fire had died out, and only smoldering red coals remained. She felt a small chill run up her back. She would need to keep better alert to ensure the fire didn't die out entirely. Anya reached for some sticks and carefully fed them into the coals. Fortunately, they were still hot enough. With careful blowing of air over them, they flared and caught. She set more branches on the small tongue of flame, resurrecting the fire. She glanced outward into the woods, but the firelight ruined her night vision. The rain had tapered off, but the wind continued to blast through the trees. It was tough trusting her ears when the wind seemed to overpower her ability to pick out details. The fire had compromised her relative invisibility. If those goons were out there looking for her, they would see its glow through the branches and know someone was in there. Anya closed her eyes and made sure the sword was ready to wield. She paused, trying to tell if something was moving around in the woods, but she doubted that she'd be able to detect a twig breaking underfoot. She'd have to go on her instincts alone. Anya took a deep breath and allowed herself to relax, slowly enabling her focus to expand outward like a circle around her. She had no evidence, but she couldn't shake the feeling that something was out there. But what was it? Maybe it was Jenny. Maybe it was one of the gunmen. Anya frowned. Did she really believe that gang would abandon the comforts of their camp to come out in the storm? It was doubtful. In the morning, they would become a problem. But right now, no. That meant there was something else out there. She shook her head. Being in the dark woods during a rainstorm all by herself could certainly make the idea of something like Bigfoot seem possible. In all likelihood, there was probably an animal out there just looking for a bit of something to eat. Maybe it had gotten a whiff of the fire and had come to see if there was any food to be had. Anya smiled. Not this time. Then the hair on her neck stood up again.
Okay, something is going on here.
Anya slowly got up on her haunches. She reached for her boots and slid them on, tucking the laces inside so she wouldn't have to tie them up. The wind blew another blast through the overhang, rattling the branches around her. Anya felt a small shower of water rain down on her from somewhere high overhead. She racked her brain for all of the animals that lived in these woods. She knew that there was fox, bear, coyote, but what else might call this place home? A wolf? Maybe a werewolf. Anya grinned in spite of herself. She'd been working with Doug Morrell for too long. Werewolves were exactly what he'd be thinking about. She glanced up. She could climb into the branches for a look-see. She might be able to figure out what had her on edge. That didn't sound like a small animal. Anya reached up and threaded her way into the branches. With every move, more water fell on her. Something was definitely trying to get closer to the shelter. Anya climbed into the higher branches of the tree. She still had her knife on her belt, and she had her sword. The branches below her yawned and then snapped back. Anya kept climbing. Her pulse quickened. Wild packs of dogs sometimes roamed through the woods, and they would gladly tear a lone human apart without hesitation. She reached up for the next series of branches and pulled herself into a seated position about 20 feet up. Anya peered fruitlessly down into the dark and tangled limbs below. Something was destroying her camp. She could just make out the black shape moving back and forth. But it wasn't unrestrained carnage, more like calculated destruction. Whatever it was seemed to be searching for something. She could easily jump down and attack, but what would be the point? She was safe, and the idea of facing an unknown adversary didn't sit well with her. Suddenly, the branch supporting her cracked. The branch gave way. As she hit the ground, she tucked and turned into a roll. She rolled for some distance before coming to her feet. Underneath the canopy, something still lurked. Anya closed her eyes and summoned the sword. In the darkness, its blade glowed a dull silver. She caught a sudden glimpse of yellow and realized that there were two eyes staring out from under the tree canopy at her. It had to be a wolf. Anya stepped forward, keeping the blade in front of her. It was highly unlikely the animal was trying to kill her. She had inadvertently stumbled onto its territory, and the wolf was simply defending its home turf. Still, a threat was a threat. Steeling herself, she moved forward. There were things in the backpack she wanted, and she wasn't going to let the wolf tear it apart.
Get out of here! Scat!
Anya took a glance around her, trying to see if any of its packmates were near. It seemed likely that the wolf was a lone hunter. Anya knew the feeling.
You're not gonna kill him, are you?
Anya nearly fainted from fright, but recovered quickly enough to pivot and aim her sword into the darkness.
Hey, whoa! Be careful with that thing, lady!
Anya squinted and could just make out the form of another person in the shadows nearby.
Joey?
Yep.
Want to tell me what you're doing wandering around out here in the dark?
Isn't it obvious? I'm looking for you.
Why? I can take care of myself, thank you.
Joey stepped out of the shadows, his eyes running along the length of the blade.
I can see that. Where did you get that thing? I didn't see you with it earlier today.
It's a tool I carry around with me.
Something that looks like that isn't what I'd call a tool, Anya. That thing has one purpose, to kill.
You'd be surprised what else it can do other than just take a life.
Yeah, you'll have to explain it to me. So, you got a wolf rummaging through your gear, huh?
You know it's a wolf?
Yep, I saw the tracks.
One wolf under the canopy and one wolf creeping outside. I'm surrounded, I guess.
At least you had the good sense to find some shelter. I would have come in sooner, but I picked up the wolf stalking you and I couldn't interfere.
Why not?
He's just doing what a wolf does.
Is it dangerous?
Sure, if he feels threatened.
Anya raised her eyebrows and glanced back at the canopy. She couldn't tell what the wolf was doing right then. There wasn't any movement in the darkness under the canopy.
You took the kids back to town?
Yeah, they're fine. I think they're leaving tomorrow. They couldn't stop talking about the guns and stuff the entire way back. I've never heard so much talking in my life. I had to tell them to shut up.
Thanks for taking care of them.
They wouldn't have lasted without me. Guess you were right.
Well, every once in a while I get something correct.
You really should put that away. The wolf doesn't want to hurt you.
Anya turned her back to Joey and let the sword return to the otherwhere. She wasn't sure how to explain the sword's behavior to Joey. When she opened her eyes and looked at him, he didn't seem the slightest bit fazed by the sudden disappearance.
I guess you don't want me telling anybody about that, huh?
I'd prefer that we kept it between us, yes.
Yeah. People find out, there'll be way too many questions.
You sure?
Well, another 50 would help seal the deal.
Tell you what. If you help me get my stuff back from the wolf, it's a deal.
No sweat.
He knelt in the muddy ground and put his hands to his mouth. The effect was instantaneous. From under the tree, Anya saw a large shape dislodge itself from the branches and come through the darkness toward Joey. Her heart raced, but she stayed where she was. Joey must know what he was doing to tempt fate this way. The wolf trotted out and sniffed Joey's hand. With a casual glance at Anya, the dark gray predator stood at Joey's feet and let himself be stroked. Joey looked up at Anya.
You want to pet him?
Are you kidding?
Trust me, okay? I wouldn't tell you it was safe if it wasn't. This guy is one of the protectors of the forest. Chi-Hawk here has been around as long as I have.
Chi-Hawk, huh?
Chi-Hawk continued to appraise her as Anya drew nearer. When she was within a few feet of the wolf, she sat down and extended her hand until it was under Chi-Hawk's muzzle. She could feel the wolf's hot breath on the back of her hand as he sniffed her. She managed not to jump when he started licking her fingers.
I guess you passed.
Anya let her hand wander up behind Chi-Hawk's ears and ran her fingers through his coarse fur. It was almost like patting a big dog, but not quite. Even though Chi-Hawk seemed to have accepted her, Anya couldn't shake the idea that this animal could easily tear her throat out if it wanted to.
Don't believe that.
What?
Chi-Hawk would only attack if he felt threatened, just the same as you. Don't look so surprised. The expression on your face was enough for me to figure out what you were thinking.
Oh. Well, This is a bit new for me.
And for Chi-Hawk, too. You're only the second human he's let pet him.
Really?
I'm the first.
I'm honored, then.
Anya looked into Chi-Hawk's eyes as she stroked his ears.
Thank you.
Chi-Hawk rose gracefully, looked once at Anya and then at Joey, before turning and stalking off into the night.
Where's he going?
I told you, he's looking for his dinner.
Anya stood when Joey did, awed by what had just happened. Then she thought about why she was even in the Oregon woods in the first place.
We need to find Jenny. If she wasn't able to make a fire, she might die of exposure out here.
All right, but we've got to be careful. Those lunatics with guns are probably still around, and I don't feel like running into them.
Anya got her gear from under the canopy. Despite the awful sounds, very little of her stuff was damaged at all. She emerged and saw Joey standing on the trail.
You ready?
Anya nodded. It was still terribly dark, and she had no idea how they were going to find their way. But Joey didn't seem to notice, and before she knew what was happening, they were headed down the trail. Joey picked his way along the path without making a sound. Anya marveled at his ability to stay quiet. He was very much every bit his namesake.
How long have your people lived here?
Hundreds of years. We're a splinter group of Apache.
Apache? I thought that tribe was from the southwest.
It was. We came up north to escape the persecution of the Spaniards and the white man. It took us a long time to find a suitable home, but this was it.
So where do you live?
With my grandfather. My parents died in a car accident when I was really young.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I didn't really know them. It makes me sad to think of them sometimes, but my grandfather is all the family I need. He and the animals who live here.
I don't blame you. I never knew my parents either. You really know your way all over these parts?
Yep. I've been running around here for about 5 years now. My grandfather insists I come out here to practice my skills so they aren't lost. He was a scout for his tribe when he was young.
That must have been a long time ago.
Yep.
And he taught you how to do all of this stuff? The tracking, the stalking, all of it?
Skills like that are what made my people such a tough enemy. They're also what protected us when we needed them. My grandfather says it's my duty to ensure that they never die out. When I have a son, I'll teach them to him as well. Stuff gets passed on that way, like it has for hundreds, maybe thousands of years.
Incredible. You're very lucky to have someone like your grandfather in your life.
Yep, he's pretty cool. He once walked from Alaska to South America. He called it the spirit journey, where he learned how to beat his own limitations. Eventually, I'll probably do something like that. Kind of a rite of passage for my tribe.
How many of you are left?
Joey paused, kneeling as he studied the trail. He ran his hands over the ground.
Your friend passed this way about an hour ago.
Really?
She's stumbling, though. You see how her footprints are staggered? There's not a rhythm to them anymore. She's in danger, most likely from the wind and the rain.
You're certain these tracks were made about an hour ago?
I might be off by 15 minutes or so, given the degradation of the tracks from the weather. But yes, it's pretty accurate.
Can you find her?
Be a lot easier if she was in better shape. As it is, she'll be unpredictable. Her footwork will make it tough to follow her along a set course. In her state, she might easily stumble and fall, and we'd never find her.
We've got to try.
Can you keep up? I'll move faster if I know you can hang with me as I go along.
Don't worry about me. If I can't keep up, I'll call out and ask you to slow down.
Okay, then. Let's go.
Joey turned and loped along the muddy trail, his body stooped over. Anya watched him move at a crouching run, checking the ground every few minutes for more signs, and then continuing on. Anya kept pace pretty well for a while, but then her own stamina took a bit of a hit. She felt herself starting to grow weary from the fast pace. Joey kept moving. Anya forced herself to push on, concerned that Jenny could well be dying somewhere close by. Joey paused and looked back at her.
You okay?
Anya stopped and bent over to stretch out a stitch in her side.
Fine. Why?
I can hear you panting. You sound like a train huffing along back there. Honestly, I thought you were in better shape.
I'm in fine shape. Thanks. I'm a bit tired, though.
You want to rest?
No. Jenny needs us.
Stay there and get some rest. I'll go on alone and find her. When I do, I'll come back and lead you there. Right now, someone needs to make sure she's okay.
All right, then. Go.
Anya watched Joey disappear into the night and then walked to a nearby tree and leaned against it. The trunk of the tree behind her felt solid and somehow comfortable. She slowly slid to the ground. Within a few moments, her eyelids dipped shut and she fell asleep. And then she felt herself being shaken.
Anya!
Her eyes popped open. Joey's face was close to hers.
Come on, wake up, sleepyhead!
You found her?
About a mile farther on. She was in a bad way, but I got a fire going and huddled her up close to it. Hypothermia, I guess. The rain and wind probably took her down, but she should be okay.
What'd she say?
I guess she went back to camp and found it deserted. She was trying to get to town when the storm came down. Another 30 minutes and she would have been a goner. Come on, let's go.
Anya got to her feet, and Joey led her over the trail and down a steep precipice. Bits of shale and gravel broke free, skittering along the path toward the muddy lower ground.
Am I hearing a waterfall?
Yep. Better see it in the daylight, though. At night, it's not the same thing. Unless, of course, there's a full moon. Then it's pretty spectacular.
I'll have to remember that. How much farther along is she?
Joey stopped and pointed through the trees.
There. You see the fire? She's right there.
Yeah, I see it. I know she needs it, but I can't help thinking about those guys roaming around in the night looking for someone to kill.
Those guys are probably back in their tents, sleeping off a drunk.
Joey led her farther down the trail, and then the ground sloped upward again.
How she made it as far as she did is pretty amazing.
Jenny's made of tough stuff. She knows how to handle herself.
Well, weather can break anyone down. She should have just hunkered down and gotten shelter and waited out the storm.
Is it much farther?
Just over the next rise.
Anya smiled. It would be good to see Jenny again, even if she was in a state. At least she was alive. That was the important thing. All they had to do was get her back to town so she could be checked by a local doctor to make sure she had no lingering problems. Joey ducked off the trail.
She went this way?
She stumbled all over the place. It kept her going along downhill, but once she started to climb, she veered from the trail.
Anya crested the hill with Joey still in the lead. Joey stopped abruptly.
What the hell?
What is it?
Anya looked. She could see the fire with its flames still eagerly eating their way through the wood. The firewall and pine boughs were also nearby. But Jenny was nowhere to be seen.
Where is she?
She was here. I swear. I left her right there. She was sound asleep, exhausted. There's no way she could have just gotten up and walked away.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. You don't think I had something to do with this, do you?
Sorry. I guess I'm used to too many people in my life not being what they claim to be.
Joey scampered down the slope and began checking the area around the pine boughs.
There are no tracks here.
What? How is that possible?
Look! You can see the impression her body weight made on the bed of pine boughs. That's where I left her. But look at the ground. There's nothing much here to read, even for someone like me.
Is it possible she just got up and walked away?
Not without leaving some type of sign. I'd be able to read it, especially since I've grown pretty familiar with her track type. There's nothing here. It's like she just up and vanished.
Anya looked around. The approach to the knoll was fairly well sheltered. Would the gunmen have been able to spot the fire and mount a kidnapping so quickly? And if they had, shouldn't there be some kind of track for Joey to find?
This doesn't make sense. She's got to be around here.
Impossible! She'd need to have a stride like King Kong in order to walk away without me having anything to follow. No way. She's not here. She somehow got snatched by someone skillful enough to erase their tracks, like they weren't even there. And that's a major skill. I don't know anyone but my grandfather who could pull it off.
And yet someone clearly has.
Yep.
Overhead, the storm clouds finally broke apart and drifted away, illuminating the area with moonlight. Anya was amazed at how much better she could see the surrounding area now.
Well, that'll help.
How long did it take you to get her settled before you came to see me?
About 20 minutes. Long enough for me to make sure she was in a good state. Would have never left her otherwise.
I believe you. How long did it take for you to get back to me after you left Jenny?
Under 10 minutes. It's not that long a haul for me.
Still, that means someone had plenty of time to get to her while you were fetching me. Whoever grabbed her had to be extremely capable at stealthy movement.
And strong. Jenny wasn't exactly light as a feather.
So what do we do now?
Okay, we can try to search for her, but I don't know how much good it's going to do. Without a track, I'm not much use. I haven't really learned how to spirit track yet.
What's that?
You won't believe me.
Did you see that sword earlier? Try me.
Good point. Well, spirit tracking is when you try to tune into the person's thoughts or spirit. You use that to guide you to them. My grandfather says it's one of the ultimate tests that a true scout can undertake. Learning how to do it, you can kind of tune in on them anywhere. I still need a lot of training before I can do it.
What about your grandfather?
That guy can do anything.
Well, then maybe we should get him out here to help us.
Yeah, that would be the best thing to do, but my grandfather's not able to walk anymore. He wouldn't be able to come out here unless we drove him.
What happened to him?
He got hit by a car crossing the street. It paralyzed him from the waist down. He hasn't been the same since.
A stiff breeze blew across the hill, chilling Anya. Jenny was somewhere in the woods, probably still in pretty bad shape, and there wasn't a thing they could do about it. All that seemed likely was that she had a cup of pine needle tea and little else.
This is not how I expected to be spending my trip.
My grandfather lives about 4 miles that way. If we hurry, we can reach his place in little over an hour. But it's not an easy trek, and I'm a little worried that you might not make it.
I'm not waiting here for you. The last time I did that, Jenny vanished.
Suit yourself, but you'd better be able to keep up with me. If I can reach my grandfather's house and get him to spirit track Jenny, then we should be all set.
He'll be able to tell us where she is?
Almost definitely.
Then we'd better get going.
After a solid hour of travel, using what looked like animal runs and smaller paths that would have been invisible to Anya's eyes if she'd been here alone, Joey stopped and lifted his face to the breeze as if scenting the air. Anya came up alongside him and took the moment of rest gratefully.
I don't think I've ever moved so fast in my life.
Quite a workout, isn't it?
I'll say. Are we close?
Quiet for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Anya watched as Joey closed his eyes and turned his head slowly from side to side until he locked in on one direction. He stayed quiet for 2 minutes and then opened his eyes.
You ready to go again?
Sure.
Good.
Joey headed off quickly through the trees and Anya followed. They crested the hill and then turned onto a new track. The number of trees seemed to be dwindling and thinning out. Anya felt a change in the air that felt like civilization to her. 40 yards farther on, Joey stepped out of the woods and onto a paved road.
Where are we?
This is the main road that runs out to the trailhead.
I don't recognize it.
You wouldn't have traveled this stretch coming from town.
Your grandfather lives out here by himself?
He's got me with him when I'm not out running around on my own.
Joey walked along the road. Anya followed, happy to be on pavement after slogging through so much potentially ankle-twisting mud. Soon, Joey stopped and pointed ahead of them. Anya could make out what looked like a small driveway.
The house is up there.
I don't see it.
Wait a second.
Anya watched, and then saw lights come on in one of the rooms, faintly illuminating the small home.
How?
He knows we're coming. Let's go.
As they approached the small house, Anya could see that the roof sagged in the middle, and the gutters hung away from the roofline. The night storm could not have done much good to the obviously aged exterior, with its gray paint flaking off in piles by the stone foundation. A rough-hewn wooden rail led up to a planked porch. 2 rain barrels set at either corner overflowed from the rainfall.
Great place.
You're kidding, right? It's falling apart.
Well, yeah, but in a nice rustic way.
Joey turned and mounted the wooden steps. Anya followed, and as she did so, the front door opened, letting out a wash of light onto the porch. Backlit, Anya could just make out the form of a man in a wheelchair waving them in. Joey bent and hugged his grandfather.
Grandpa!
Creeping Wolf, I see you've been busy tonight.
Joey nodded and stepped back.
This is Anya Creed. She needs your help.
Oh, about the woman?
Yes.
How does he know that?
I told him.
When?
When I took a second to contact him.
Telepathy?
You see, everyone tries to rationalize everything. That's the problem with people these days. Well, come and sit by the fire, Miss Creed. You look cold.
Anya walked inside and saw that the interior was much nicer than the exterior had led her to believe. A large stone fireplace occupied the central place in the living room and held a cheerful fire. Beautiful, intricate Native American tapestries hung from the walls. The floor was covered in a thick rug that looked like bearskin, although she couldn't be sure. Anya sank into the threadbare recliner and marveled at how comfortable it was. Her spine relaxed into it, and the cushions adjusted perfectly to her frame. Joey's grandfather smiled.
A comfy chair, huh?
Very.
The old man wheeled himself over to the fire. In the twinkling light, Anya could see the wrinkled skin that looked like aged leather. His beard was almost entirely white and hung about 2 inches below his chin. He eyed her closely. After a moment, he smiled.
You may call me Dancing Deer.
Anya frowned. The name simply didn't fit, given the old man's condition. Had it been some sort of cruel joke that someone had given him that name? Dancing Deer merely smiled.
I wasn't always like this. In my youth, I ran through the woods with the joy of a deer that has just found his strength. Even now, the soul of a mighty buck beats within my chest. Yeah, legs aside, I'm still a mighty warrior.
I'm honored to meet you. I've heard a great deal about you from Creeping Wolf.
My grandson is a credit to his people. He's a fine scout in his own right. He has a lot to learn still, but I can see that he has been very useful to you already.
And I'm hoping you can be just as useful. I need your help to find my friend Jenny.
Very well. And I must ask you to sit still and allow me to track her.
I was the last to see her, Grandpa.
Come by me.
Anya watched as Joey knelt next to Dancing Deer's wheelchair. The old man placed one hand on Joey's head and then closed his eyes. Anya watched his lips move soundlessly, and then it was over quickly. Dancing Deer opened his eyes and looked at Joey.
Bring Sage, please.
Joey nodded and rose to his feet, heading to what Anya presumed was the kitchen. When he returned, he had a large bundle of leaves in his hand.
Light it. Let it smolder.
Joey leaned in close to the fire and let the bundle catch. The fire ate into the dried herbs, and then Joey waved it to extinguish the flame. Smoke wafted into the room, and Anya took a nice deep breath. The sweet, clean smell relaxed her. Dancing Deer closed his eyes once more.
Move it around the room until we're surrounded by its essence.
Joey circled the room, letting the smoke hang in the air until it permeated everything. Finally, he set the smoldering bundle in a small dish near the fire. Smoke continued to drift toward the ceiling. Anya could feel her own eyelids getting heavy again. She desperately wanted to stay awake and watch Dancing Deer undertake the spirit track, but she wasn't sure that it was possible.
Okay, I'm ready.
Anya, you need to be absolutely quiet, okay?
Anya nodded as she watched Joey pick up a small drum and stick. Anya felt herself get lighter and lighter. The smell of sweet sage in the room drifted in and out of her lungs and seemed to seep into every one of her muscles, making them relax even further. The more Anya relaxed, the deeper she seemed to sink into the chair and the lighter she felt. It was an odd sort of sensation. She was relaxed and deeply in some sort of state, but she simultaneously felt like she could lift right out of her chair as if she had no weight whatsoever. She turned her eyes inward and saw the sword hanging in the space in her mind's eye where it always resided. She could reach out and touch it if she wanted, but somehow she knew her attention was needed elsewhere. She looked outward and in an instant found herself drifting up and out of the chair toward the ceiling. Then she was carried through the house and out into the swirling wind and dark night again, but she wasn't cold. She turned toward the woods where she and Joey had come from and let herself float that way. She drifted down the trail quickly, her feet never touching the ground at all. Perhaps this was what it was like to die. Anya kept traveling down the path. She rolled over the hills and down into the valleys. She could taste the air, and soon enough she found herself back where she and Joey had started. The pine boughs still held the impression of Jenny's body. Anya rose up above the ground and looked at the area from a different perspective. Whoever had grabbed Jenny would have scared her, possibly. Jenny must have felt some type of fear, even in her weakened state. Anya wondered what it would be like to lay there so vulnerable and know that she couldn't do anything. Her pulse quickened at the thought of the sudden looming presence that might have carried her off. Fear enveloped her body and her mind like a smothering blanket. She wanted to shrug it off and feel relaxed again, but a voice inside her told her this was necessary. She needed to know this fear. Anya embraced it then, allowing herself to be swept up into the rising tide of anxiety that Jenny would have felt. And as she did so, her body shifted. She zoomed along the ground again, but no longer in control of herself. It was as if she'd stepped on a carnival ride and been whisked away from where she was, with Jenny's fear overwhelming her. Her body flew over the landscape to places that Anya didn't recognize. Hills too steep to climb rushed at her as she continued to move on and on, higher and higher, until she felt as if she was above the tree line. And then, darkness. blackness. It surrounded Anya. She could taste the fear in her mouth. Where was she? Who had taken her? She had no sensation of what had transported her, only that she was somewhere dark and dank. It wasn't too cold, though. Somehow there was warmth in this place.
Jenny? Jenny! I think you're in a cave up on a mountain almost above the tree line. If you can hear me, try to get out of there and work your way down. I'll try to find you.
It felt good to say that. As soon as that relief washed over Anya, the darkness disappeared, and she was flying back down the mountain to where she'd begun her journey. Everything happened in reverse, and then Anya was back by the pine boughs. She could smell the sage again, and she could feel the heat of the living room. She wanted to be back in the chair. Anya drifted back toward Dancing Deer's home, and then down through the ceiling, finally coming to rest in the chair, sinking into the flesh of her own body. Anya opened her eyes and felt incredibly light and refreshed. After a moment, Dancing Deer opened his eyes and stared right at Anya.
Did you have a pleasant journey?
I don't know what happened to me.
Oh, I think you do, actually. You were the one to whom your friend has a strong connection. As such, you were the one to take the journey, not I.
You mean I spirit tracked her?
I don't know. Did you?
There was a lot of darkness.
But you know where to look now, don't you?
Actually, I think I do.
Be careful. You're still learning to trust your instincts. At this point, it can be very dangerous to be too trusting or too little trusting. You understand?
I guess I do.
You need only trust in the spirit that moves all things. The Creator will guide you to what you seek.
The sage smoke had ceased billowing from the bundle, and all that remained were the blackened bits of the herb in the dish. But Anya could still smell the sweet scent in the air. Joey got up and took the dish to the kitchen. He washed it, returned it to the living room, and looked at Anya.
You ready to go?
Anya rose from the recliner, feeling as if she'd been asleep for hours. She stretched and felt knots of tension loosen in her back.
Yeah, I guess so. Dancing Deer, that is one comfortable chair you've got there.
I know it. As soon as you're gone, I'm gonna fall asleep in it.
Grandpa, thanks for all your help.
Joey gave his grandfather a hug. Anya could see the pride in Dancing Deer's eyes as he hugged his grandson.
Don't be gone too long, or I'll worry.
You don't need to.
You're all I have left. I don't have a choice but to worry.
Joey nodded and smiled, then stepped back and picked up his pack and handed Anya hers.
Let's go.
Outside, the night sky was filled with stars, not overshadowed by the brilliance of the moon in the western sky. Anya picked out several constellations and marveled at how much she could see.
Anya, what are you doing? We gotta go.
Sorry, it's just so beautiful here.
Did you see the direction we need to head in?
Let's start back at where you left Jenny. I was there, and then I was taken away after I tuned into her fear, I guess.
Joey led them back down the road and into the woods again.
Oh, I feel as if this is the third time I've traveled this route tonight. I'm almost getting tired of seeing it again.
Happened to me too, the first time I did it.
I thought you said you didn't know how to do it. That's why we went and saw your grandfather.
What I said was I wasn't skilled enough at leading someone else on a spirit track. I knew it would have to be you.
You never mentioned that.
Would you have believed me?
Possibly.
I guess maybe you would have.
They wound their way back down the trail. Anya's legs knew the terrain by now, and she was surprised at how relaxed she felt as she moved along. It was almost as if she was able to sense the flow of the land, to read it before she reached it, and adjust her body accordingly. Joey led them back to the hill where he'd left Jenny.
Okay, now what?
Anya glanced around. The last time she'd been here, she'd been out of her body and tuning into Jenny's emotional state. But now, being there in the flesh, it didn't seem possible to do what she'd done back at Dancing Deer's home.
I don't know.
Anya, come on, don't fool around.
It doesn't look familiar. I don't know if I can do this again.
Of course you can. You just need to stop thinking that it's different now from how it was when you were in the chair. It's not different. It's the same. It's all connected.
Anya closed her eyes. She tried to remember how she'd felt when she reached this point. She could feel her heartbeat increase as the waves of fear gripped her insides again. She was Jenny. She was feeling the approach of some kind of unseen danger. And then she was swept up.